This is a guest episode from my radio show, Saturday nights at 9 p.m. on KRLA here in Southern California. The URL to the podcast version is available in the show notes, and I wanted to share it with my Salesforce Trails and Trials listeners, as it does relate to Salesforce, as well as additional AI topics and apps that impact Salesforce professionals and how they get work done. And I thought you'd be interested and appreciate you signing up, subscribing, and sharing, and providing your feedback. Enjoy.
Welcome to the John Klein Show, where we spotlight the human side of technology. Your host, John Klein, a Salesforce solution architect, a strong leadership coach, and your guide to building stronger teams in this fast-paced, AI-driven world.
You're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to somebody who uses AI. Your company is not going to go out of business because of AI. Your company is going to go out of business because another company used AI. There's no question about that.
From conflict resolution to communication tips, we dive deep into real-world strategies that put people at the heart of everyday tech innovation. So whether you're an IT leader, a startup founder, or just curious about better collaboration,
there will come a point where no job is needed.
Tune in, call in, and join our conversation. And now, your host, John Klein.
Welcome, everyone. It's great to be with you another week. I hope you've gone and tested out a little bit of AI transcription and summaries and how you can maintain your people first power. Today, we're going to talk through some really interesting news for this week, a little reversal on the AI front towards human first, people first aspects. We're going to talk a little bit about a vision where we start to see some bifurcation, some lines being drawn about what people think about AI and where the boundaries might be. And our learning segment today, we're going to talk about Notebook LM and how you can make use of this to supercharge your ability to be knowledgeable, insightful, and get up to speed in your business. So very excited to talk through that with you today. And I'm going to highlight some really cool ways for you to use that. And we got a couple callers we're going to take to hear some of their challenges. So let's get into it. The first story, you might have heard of a company called Klarna, and they do kind of buy now, pay later. So if you go online, you buy from various online stores, you'll have an option to, you know, kind of go ahead and get the transaction done, but you can pay in 3, 4, 5 payments. Now, they made news almost exactly a year ago. Their CEO came up with a very fascinating statement. His name's Sebastian, and he said, "We are not going to hire, and in fact, we are probably going to let go of a significant number of our customer service team because people love our automated AI chatbot. Our customer sat scores on our chatbot are actually better than our humans. And so we're going to go ahead and just not hire those people and let some of those people go and just go all in on AI." Now, he's made other statements saying, like, "We got rid of Salesforce and we're just using AI." He's kind of gotten back a little bit. You got to love a guy who's willing to come out early with a lot of enthusiasm and maintain that level of clarity. And really, I give him credit. About 1 year later, this just happened in the last 2 weeks, he now comes out and says, "You know what's interesting is we thought people loved our chatbot better than our people, but as soon as we got rid of the people, we found that we were wrong. And we found not only that, but people want human connection even more in the age of AI." So he began to separate and say, well, what we saw is these smaller, repetitive, more transactional things, right? I mean, we've all been there. We got to reset our email, reset our password. Maybe we need to check business hours. We need to do some other transactional details. Okay, fine. Let's get those automated. I can do it in the middle of the night, easy. But anywhere where it could easily turn into a loop, something that's like, I'm asking the same question over and over. And in fact, don't you hate it when you deal with that with a normal human customer service environment? You call them up, you explain what's going on. They say, okay, let me get you on to the department you need. And what's the dreaded question once they pick up? "Great, how can I help you? Did you hear anything that I already said?" "No." "Okay, I'm going to do it again. And now I have to say it over and over." So this is definitely something that Salesforce and other tools can help bridge and make sure it never happens to your customers. But the same thing happens in AI, where we get stuck in this loop because it doesn't actually know how to help us. And now there's no way to get out. Now I'm really frustrated because I just have to end the conversation. So I give him credit by being honest and truthful about this and making an about face. It's a pretty prominent story because he was so public and it made big headlines a year ago that someone was eliminating thousands of people potentially in their staff because of their going all in with AI. I think it's actually a refreshing and sobering reality that it shows that there is a slice of the, you know, let's take a slice of the pie that AI is going to do excellent with. And that size might grow or shrink depending on what type of business it is, what nature of the transactions are really repetitive, and where there's not really a value add sometimes. But there's a significant number of them that are value added and really need that human touch. Because think about it, in a customer service scenario, are you really only looking for the issue to be resolved? I mean, think about, for example, if you're asking for a billing dispute, maybe you got overcharged, maybe you weren't supposed to be charged at all. And now, yes, do you want the $7 back? Sure. But you're actually not on the call to get the $7 back, really. You're on the call because you want these people to recognize that, hey, if this happened to me, it might have happened to somebody else. And in fact, it could have happened to thousands of people. So I'm willing to spend my time in principle to make sure that this doesn't happen to any more people. And I'm willing to give you my time right now. And yes, I want my $7 back, but more than that, I want you to recognize, oops, I'm so sorry. We made a mistake. We're going to make it right. That's what people are looking for. They really want to have relationships with the people that they buy from in the same way that they would want relationships with the everyday people that they're on the road with or the people that they see at the coffee shop. We just want people to make things right and to own it and to be responsible parties. And I don't know about you, but when someone puts, for example, on my receipt, thank you so much for coming, it's not at all the same as when like the cashier or a person tells me, thank you so much for coming. It's just different. And I think in this respect, that human element, being able to listen to somebody, understand their stress, have empathy and be like, I'm so sorry it's taken you so long to resolve this. Let me see what I can do. And then behind the scenes, as we all know, there's policies, procedures, SOPs, all of this. You need someone to go to bat for you and to actually go and say, look, this is the situation with this person. I understand what the policy says, but what do I need to do to get a variance, to get a waiver, to get an exception here for this person because they really deserve it? That's what we want. And so I love this story and good luck, Sebastian. I think it's great, the direction you're going now, focusing in and letting AI do its part, but not erode the people first power you have in your organization. So I thought that was a wonderful story. I'll have we're going to have show notes on the site, johnkline.com. And so you can see all of the aspects that we talk about if you want to follow up and learn any more detail. A couple other items, just as we think about checking in from the last week, there's been a big AI image release. Now, each LLM is doing this kind of on their own, but this OpenAI one was very, very significant. And you may have seen news about it because there was a Japanese organization called Ghibli Labs that really found it interesting because it was able to imitate their unique hand-drawn style almost identically within minutes. And what's unique about their studio, I actually had not known about their studio. I'm not a big anime fan outside the Animatrix, which is back in my past. But it was fascinating given how much effort he puts into the human experience and the process, not only by which the viewer is going to see it, but actually what the artists themselves go through in storytelling with every character on the page. It's really a beautiful aspect of their culture. And so, of course, it's one of the many legal actions that are being taken now, because the question is it right for OpenAI or any LLM to be training themselves on protected materials? You know, if you write a book or you make art, you make music, is it right for any given model to go and use your material without compensating you. And I don't think it's right. And I think it's a very significant avenue that we need to protect and advocate for. So I actually avoid using these image tools today because I feel that I don't know how I can use them without infringing on the creativity and protected works of other people. So it puts me into a moral dilemma. So I avoid it. And my hope is that there opens up a framework where all of these LLMs that want to train on this material, that they actually have to compensate. They find some measure. I mean, I have a friend actually who their job is to collect data for training. And so he'll call me up and say, hey, I got a deal right now. If you can provide me transaction emails from anybody but Amazon, I'll give you 25 cents an email. Okay, fine. We have a relationship. It's a transaction. I can freely give my data over. I can collect other data, compensate people for that. Fine. That's the way it should work. But if it's just publicly available online, that doesn't mean that it's freely available for my use. In the same way, I can't just take a photo that I find on the internet that someone else prepared, did the lighting, edited, mocked up, and just use it on my website or, you know, as an album for my podcast or anything like that. Those are protected works. And I think it's really important as just part of the foundational nature of what is America and what does it mean to be a creator that we protect that. So a great aspect or related to that, I was just grateful to see Senator Josh Hawley was speaking at Little Tech. And Little Tech is essentially a conference put on by Y Combinator. They're kind of an incubator for startups. And he was speaking about what kind of AI should we be looking for? And am I a technology, they asked him, are you a technology optimist? And he said he's probably more of a technology skeptic, which I appreciated. And he said, look, when it comes to AI, we need liberty enhancing AI. We need AI that protects creators, producers, it protects copyrights, it protects the same structures and boundaries that we have in our everyday life as people. And if we can do that and help people flourish and grow and leverage these tools, then we're going to be in good shape. But we need to have boundaries and structure. And I wholeheartedly agree. And we're going to talk about a couple examples of that after the break, of AI that really helps you to flourish while protecting your works. And you know, if you're a creator, an author, or if you're working on projects, right? You're in a CRM project and you're dealing with client materials. These are ways that that work will be protected. It doesn't get accosted and taken as training and publicly available work through the models. So I really like that. So I love the fact that Senator Hawley is talking about this and that Little Tech really invited him to come and present this, because I believe that as participants, we really need to advocate for this type of engagement where AI has boundaries and we don't let it just traverse wherever it would like to go, trampling over the rights of others and creators. So we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Now, we're talking a lot about great tools and ways for you to learn AI in a very safe environment. So I'd like to talk about the People First AI Playground. This is a location where you can go online and have specific projects that are set for you that coordinate with our show, as well as have historical projects from prior episodes. This gives you a safe place to learn how to use these tools, the terminology and vernacular around them, the places where it wouldn't be great to use them given your People First perspective. And you can be there with like-minded people who are also trying to learn and offer their perspective. So check back. You can go to johnkline.com/thetrail, and you can learn more about the People First AI Playground so you can follow along with us and really grow in your own skills to be more capable than you thought you could be and make sure that AI continues to place a cape on you rather than escape from your future job. Welcome back, everyone. Now, I appreciate some of that news that we discussed and also some of that policy potential in the future. What really needs to happen is that we need to become more educated ourselves, and these tools need to become more familiar to us. So they're not foreign. We understand the concepts and we know with a little muscle memory how to make use of them. So today in our learning segment, I wanted to talk through one particular product that is called Notebook LM. And Notebook LM is a product by Google. And essentially, the goal is that it's what's called a grounded data library. So you essentially imagine, for example, you just got a new role at the office, or maybe you're a training professional and you have a ton of material that you like to onboard people to when they get hired. And today, for example, maybe it's you got to do a bunch of work to do their 30, 60, 90 day onboarding plan. Well, you can take all that material you have, doesn't have to be super organized, and you can drop it into Notebook LM, right? And they have a series of sources that you just upload these as it'll take audio files, even YouTube videos, text files, and drop them in there. Then once they're all there, you can start asking questions from a prompt. You can say something like, hey, of all this stuff, organize this and give me a table of contents. Give me a summary of what I have. You can even upload something that's in your own design and say, hey, output a doc that looks like the style of this one. And what's amazing here is in the paid version, you can have up to 300 sources. So there's a significant amount of data that you can have in here. And if you imagine taking this, this is a little bit in contrast to what we talked about last week, because this day, there's not a lot of meetings and tone of voice and conversations. This is prepared data that you have and you're uploading. It's not going to have a lot of the sentiment, et cetera. So we're really focused on the actual text itself. And what's cool, I love this feature. So I can take a bunch of sources like this, drop them in. And let's say it's a subject, for example, one of the topics I follow is why did tech projects fail? Because if we know why technology projects fail, then we can focus on those reasons to make sure they succeed. So that's something that I've looked at. I now have over 25,000 projects across 30 years included in my Notebook LM library. That's amazing, because whenever I have a question about what are the top three reasons why projects fail, it's very easy to go find that from the data. Now it gets even better. Let's say that you commute a little bit for work and you want to learn more topics, whether it's about AI, about Salesforce, about other topics, you can create a library. And I believe there's a free version of this that comes with your Google Apps account. And you can also get a paid version that gives you a lot more sources. But even the free version is amazing. You can drop in this, let's say some articles. You find some articles online, you export them as PDFs, and you push them into Notebook LM. Well, now you can go up to the top right and you can have a podcast created based on what you've included. So this is very cool, because they create essentially like a two-person, it's a gal and a guy, and they're just having a conversation about whatever topic you're wanting to learn. This is what's great about it, is it uses the LLM reasoning to kind of attach and understand where the connections lie, but none of your data is actually shared for learning material with the LLM. So it only uses the sources that you specifically upload, which is very nice, especially in confidential environments like businesses. And now you can have that podcast created, you can download it. And while you're driving, you could be learning about that new subject. Let's say you're preparing for a meeting, you're getting onboarded to a new tech project, and you want to understand the background. You could take their whole solution design document, a bunch of their discovery materials. You could dump all of that inside Notebook LM and say, create me a podcast about this. And now you just have that in your car while you're driving to work, and you're listening essentially like a radio show or a podcast with two people talking about the key elements of this particular project. It's amazing. Now, even when, let's say, for example, I use it. So on my podcast, I will take my whole episode. Sometimes they're up to an hour. I'll transcribe it. And then I'll ask Notebook LM to say, what's a good summary in 500 words or less? Organize this into chapters. And here's what's cool too. I'm just uploading the text file, and it somehow knows what the common cadence is for how fast people speak. And I'll even ask it to say, those chapters, go ahead and put timestamps on them. And that makes it easy for me to add chapters to my podcast to make it easy for people to fast forward to a particular aspect. And you'll see it with this show, because I'll be hosting this show, the audio files as a podcast on my site. So you'll see how I do that. But very useful. And I often use that podcast aspect to learn new material. Because I just love the, I love the conversational aspect of it. For some reason, that's just me, and we all learn differently. But I also like being kinetic when I'm learning. So whether I'm exercising, taking a walk with the dog, driving, I like learning in those kind of environments rather than being static and having to look at a page and not really having to do anything else. That's just me, and you might find that helpful. Some other aspects that are really helpful. I love the idea of capturing information over time. So I call my notebook LLM libraries, I call them my wise uncle, because I have numerous kind of repositories where I want to know about different subjects over time. So some of these, for example, for you might be on the business side, you might be capturing discovery material related to a particular project or company over time. And you just keep adding as you have meetings, as you gather documents and artifacts from the client, you're adding these things to Notebook LM. And here's what's great. Not only is it useful for you because it just continues to grow and add, right? You get 30 sources on the free version, 300 sources on the paid version currently. You can continue adding that. And now anybody on your team, you can share it with them, right? So you're the only one who can add sources to it, but everybody else can go to that prompt and they can ask it questions like a wise uncle about that project. So let's say you're about to go into a meeting with the client, or your team is about to go into a meeting and you're like, you know, I thought the client mentioned something about a Microsoft CRM or a Dynamics migration. Nobody remembers here. Let's go back and ask our wise uncle on Notebook LM to see, is it mentioned anywhere? And here's what's great, is you type it up, it'll highlight, I did find it in two places, and then it gives you citations. And it says, here's one, a meeting that happened on January 14th. And here's another one, a doc the client sent you on the 14th. Perfect. It's amazing. Not only do I know that they mentioned it, I get the context around when they mentioned it, and I get the specific artifact with a potential date of where it was included. That is a tremendously helpful tool that really, it doesn't take away your thinking. It doesn't take away your ability and your vital role in providing wisdom, insight, and expertise, but it does accelerate your path to clarity with all of that information. So as a business, you can think about user stories. You can think about test cases. You might even think about like related items or dependencies, which is in beta right now. I look at it, the fact that you can share it with your team, it just makes it so it's not only in your mind, you now have a wise uncle that you can ask. And on the personal level, I think about also, I have one that keeps track of like my family history, like recipes and just different things I learn about my family because they're all over the world. And there's a lot of people that as a foster kid, I just am making discoveries all the time about who my family was. And so I keep one and I just keep adding sources over time. And so you might have that for different topics that you want to learn and you just have a place to put that. It's better than a bookmark because now I just have a prompt I can go ask as I add those sources over time. Really great strategy for accelerating your learning on any topic, both professionally and in the business. And if you're running a professional services crew, I definitely recommend you add Notebook LM to your resource at the office. If you're already using Google Apps, incorporate Notebook LM into your training process, into your ability, your business analysts to create documents, to quickly assess. And when you're onboarding new people onto the project, this is another great way to quickly get them up to speed. And path to clarity is much, much faster, and they'll love you for it. All right, we'll talk a bit more after the break. Welcome back, everyone. Great to be with you. Excited to take a few calls today, see how we can help. And in the future, you can always leave us a message at 803-JohnKlein. And for our pre-recorded shows, we coordinate these in advance. So let me know you'd like to chat and we'll go ahead and give you a call in the future for live shows. The number will be announced on the show. And so excited. Let's start with Serena. So great to have you today, Serena. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Abilene, Texas.
Abilene, Texas. Wonderful. Well, how can I help you today?
So my question that I prepared for you today, I'm going to be starting a new job pretty soon here in a new industry in tech. And I'd really like to hear your thoughts on kind of how to hit the ground running and make sure that I'm doing all the right things as I start that new role.
That's a great question. And congrats on the new role. It's got to be exciting and can be a little stressful, I imagine. Well, one of the topics we've talked about today is leveraging Notebook LM, which I think would be good to start. So if you think about in that new role, you might have access to lots of resources, right? There might be training documents, style guides, maybe historical records. Like I think your role is a technical role?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So
be a consultant.
Gotcha. So you might have like some solution design documents. You might have some discovery materials, certainly any videos like webinars or, you know, client meetings can be transcribed. And if you add all of those to Notebook LM, you're going to have a wise uncle that you can ask questions of to say, hey, have we ever talked about Microsoft Dynamics? Or, you know, did we ever talk about deleting XYZ field or whatever it might be that you want to inquire about? That certainly can be helpful. And you can ask it for high level information too, such as, you know, can you give me an outline of everything that's included here? Or, you know, what are the most common subjects that were talked about? It's quite an accelerator for kind of gaining clarity a little bit on the ground, you know? I think that's one aspect just from a clarity standpoint. Now, let's talk a little bit more about maybe some people first dimensions. Do you know what size your team is?
About 20 people and in little pods of 5 or 6.
Okay. And is your role going to be kind of within one of those pods, or will you kind of float from pod to pod sometimes?
It sounds like I'd be floating sometimes, as well as managing contractors from time to time.
Gotcha. So your kind of network of people there could be pretty large, 20 people at the office plus some number of contractors. Well, certainly in technical work, as much as we'd like to think that it's all focused on, you know, the actual technology and, you know, the components, there's a significant amount of kind of emotional commitment from people. You can imagine, right? Whether it's the client, whether it's the peers that you're working with, you often need things from people. You need insights about like they were at the meeting and you weren't, and there wasn't a lot of material generated from it. Maybe it wasn't even recorded. And now you need their time. And so that is generally like an emotional commitment. People will have to kind of buy into that. And so you're looking to gain insights and commitments from people that maybe you don't know that well. So I would suggest things like, you know, maybe people are they all in different locations as well?
Yes, totally remote.
Gotcha. So it's totally remote, which certainly adds some complexity, but it also makes it that these people are already well-versed in, you know, remote tools like Zoom or Google Meet, things like that. So I would suggest maybe starting a little, it could be like a little like lunch break or a happy hour or something where you begin inviting people to that to just join you and connect, right? So maybe they're going to have lunch, maybe they're going to just take a little break, and you just invite people to come so they can just learn a little bit about who you are. And I would probably tease that with something that's unique in your professional life or personal life. You might say something like, you know, I have this amazing story from when I was this or when I was learning here. I'd love to share it with you. I'm having a happy hour on Thursday. Why don't you come? Let's connect because we're going to be working together. That's one aspect that you could do, because the more people can really get to know you as a person, see your face and recognize who the person is behind the name on Slack, right? Behind the name on the email, the more likely they're going to be able to support you. And I think on the flip side, as you think about in the beginning, sometimes it's difficult to know where you should go. You might have an initial assignment, but you know that client might put something on pause or whatever it might be. The more people get to know you and how creative you are, you know, the varied aspects of learning, how curious you are, the more likely they're going to make a suggestion later to be like, hey, Serena's not in this conversation, but I had this happy hour with her and she's done a lot of this stuff already, or she did XYZ, which was much more difficult than this. We should loop her in to this project. And that can really help you get some good traction early with your team, because they look at you as a resource and an asset, because now they've gotten to know you a little bit and you're not just a name on a page.
That's super helpful. Thank you so much. I'm taking a ton of notes here.
Yeah. And I think there's one other aspect that might be really helpful. I mean, certainly, you know, you might want to run a couple of things by your manager. You don't want to do anything that's kind of, you know, would fall outside of what they're, what they like to do, but these things seem to be pretty, pretty simple. Another aspect is really a value add element, right? Like maybe they use Slack or other tools. And, you know, when you have, when you're watching some of those conversations, maybe in the general channel, or maybe there's a channel where people are just asking for help. And if they don't have one, it might be a good suggestion, a place for people to go and ask for help. I would suggest kind of jumping in. And even if that means that, you know what, I don't exactly know what they're talking about. Like I haven't used, for example, revenue scheduling in opportunities before, but I want to learn it anyway. So let me go ahead and take 10 minutes of my time. I'll go do the little research. I'll find some aspects and resources, and I'll bring it back to that channel and be like, you know, I haven't done this myself, but I found these two things that might help you with your question. That can be a tremendously valuable resource for people because they don't have time necessarily to go find it themselves. You kind of did some of that legwork for them, and you demonstrated the fact that you're a value add person, right? You're one who wants to contribute to the conversation, even if you weren't necessarily the one who was going to have the significant benefit. And that curiosity is something that people really remember. And it taps into that reciprocity in the fact that you've just offered this as a gift, not only to them, but anybody who comes and reads that thread in the future. And now, anytime someone leverages that, they're going to think about like, hey, that was so cool that Serena did that for us or for me. And now they're going to think about in other conversations and be like, well, I wonder if Serena could help here. And I wonder if Serena could help there, because people are really compelled to give back to people who first give to them. This is why almost everywhere you go, right? I mean, think about like Costco or what are they doing? They're giving out free samples because, okay, free sample is great. You might really enjoy it. You might not. But the fact that they did it is very compelling to want to actually give something back to that person. So I think those three aspects would be great ways to kind of unlock your opportunities there at the office and really set the tone of like, this is what kind of person you are. And I think it also sets the standard for everybody else that that's actually the way they should be too. We should be digging into relationships because the people that we work with, if we know they got our back and that we're safe to make mistakes and that they're going to cover for me and I can cover for them, boy, that's just an enjoyable workplace. And you become a positive catalyst for that.
Oh, that's amazing. That sounds like a really holistic approach too. Like it would handle some of the technical learnings and sharing of knowledge, but also build that rapport that will be really important coming up. Thank you.
Awesome. Any other questions I can answer?
That was my big one I wanted to hear your thoughts on. Thank you so much.
My pleasure and best of success.
Have a good day.
You as well. Awesome. I think we have Jackson from the Central Valley next. Welcome, Jackson. Thanks for calling the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be calling in. Really liked the episode last week and excited to ask a question.
Please. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fresno, California. So glad to get a shout out from you last week.
Awesome. How can I help you today?
Fres, yes. So one thing that was incredibly helpful to me early on in my career that made me a more effective Salesforce professional was the mentorship and the professional development that I received, where people really poured into me, took me aside and showed me the way, and constantly provided constructive criticism and feedback as to how to be a better Salesforce professional. So I was wondering if there's any ways that you can think of that AI can be leveraged to enhance mentorship and support professional development.
That's a great question. And I love it as well, because it really emphasizes using AI to kind of protect and extend your people first power rather than trying to erode that and delegate to AI aspects that really you'd be better performing and delivering because of your unique skills. So well done for you, and well done for putting yourself in positions where you are being mentored and being open to that. So a couple aspects that might be helpful here. One is just to use an example. So OpenAI has a list of custom GPTs. You can go when you go to OpenAI mm-hmm. and you go to ChatGPT, and you'll see there's a link to custom GPTs. And one of them is a teacher. I believe it's actually sponsored by an online learning tool. So that is a great spot where you can highlight, these are the things I want to learn. And what's interesting about that is that, you know, you have some aspect even to schedule it. You know, you can ask it to send you this something on this topic every week. You can ask it complicated questions and it'll kind of help summarize that back. Another aspect that I find is important, there's a growing number of tools. We're actually going to have the founder of one of these tools on a future show. There's one called Curiouser.ai. And the goal for that tool actually isn't to produce anything. It's actually to produce better thinking in you. And what I love about it is its precise element is not actually to go faster. It's to slow down, because so often today we want to get to the end result so fast, but we miss all of the potential detail, value, and benefit there is in seeing things with higher fidelity rather than with higher pace. So Jackson, if you can wait across the break here, I have a couple more aspects for you. It'll just be a few minutes.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, everyone. We'll be right back after the break. All right. Welcome back, everyone. So we still have Jackson with us from Fresno asking about ways that he can leverage AI towards kind of a mentorship and growth aspect. And so we were talking a little bit about Alice from Curiouser.ai, who we're going to have Mr. Klein on a future show. But I love that aspect of really looking to enrich you. Another idea that you might consider is certainly the need for human mentors never disappears. And I think, imagine having a mentor, right? Maybe it's an executive, maybe someone that's in the same company, maybe in just, a longtime family friend, but you're able to have those meetings and record those meetings. And so, you think about all of the things that they're giving, the questions they're answering, and leveraging a tool like Notebook LM, like we're talking about today, and taking the transcripts from those calls and putting them in. What's beautiful about that is not only does it give you this kind of compendium of wisdom where they are now acting because they're in a library now in Notebook LM, and you've just done a little bit of administrative work to take what it is that they're providing and make sure it has enduring value. Because how often do we actually appreciate and really gain all of the aspects that they might say on a given call? Sometimes we need to hear that again, and we need to refer back. But unless we spend a little bit of time protecting that, it's very difficult to revisit that call, because our memory decay is real in this world. And so I think about how, like, for example, I didn't have Notebook LM at the time, but, my foster mom left me 50, 60, 100 voicemails on my Google Voice account over my lifetime, And may she rest in peace, right? She's been gone now for maybe 5 years, but I get to go back on her birthday and I get to listen to those voicemails. And it's just so beautiful just to hear her voice, even though she's not with me anymore, it's so much more special than just listening to that kind of, or thinking about the abstract value or point that she was making on one particular call. It's so rich. And so doing something like meeting with a person as a mentor, but just recording it, dropping it into Notebook LM, and now you have this growing compendium of values and input and insights that are very specific to you that you can just refer to, and really you can do it long after they're no longer here, and which I think is really beautiful, both in a relational sense as well as in kind of a actual practical sense. And you can actually share that. I mean, imagine having a mentor that was so beneficial for you, and you've kept that in Notebook LM, and now you're able to share it with your own children. And they say, hey, look, there's so much wisdom inside here that I've captured over the last 15, 20 years. I'd love to share this with you, because, Ed or Jim or Jane, like, was so influential with me. You should ask some of those questions here sometimes, because I got a lot of my wisdom from this spot. And I think a third aspect I would suggest is I like to use Perplexity with some of this learning. Mm-hmm. And what I like about Perplexity is it does a really good job of harmonizing aspects that are coming from the LLM, right, from the reasoning model, as well as different web sources that really relate to what I'm trying to do. And I can actually then save that search for later if I don't have time to go through the whole thing and easily refer back to the entire body of what it was that I was trying to learn about. I'm sure over time that might become more structured, but those are aspects I think would be really helpful from a mentoring standpoint, which is both for insight as well as for wisdom and just leveraging AI to complement, right, that human experience. Because I really believe that it's very difficult for AI to mentor. I think AI can teach, but I think there's an aspect of mentoring that is inherently relational. And last week on the show, we talked about this example of jujitsu, you know, where your sensei, or actually is it sensei or is it like a professor? I think it's like the professor jujitsu, is they believe in you and they believe you can go further than you even believe yourself. And so most of the time with AI, we're going to ask about things that we already believe about ourselves, right? We want to learn more, et cetera. But mentoring, I think there's an aspect of where someone who can believe in you more than you believe in yourself about certain aspects. Mm-hmm. And they can call you to things that are more challenging, things that you didn't think to even ask. And I find that certainly AI today can do a survey and kind of ask about various aspects. And I think Alice with Curiouser is really good with that. And we'll have more detail on that in a future show. But ultimately, it's the person and that human connection who really learns and knows you, who knows your values, your goals, what you care about with your family. They know like the hot button issues that really matter to you. And they're able to then synthesize that down into something that's really meaningful to you. And they're able to give you recognition as they see progress, as they see those iterative steps. So I think that mentoring is actually an inherently human experience, but can be enhanced with AI, and especially on the historical side of really capturing, protecting, and leveraging all of that input and effort that they gave you over the years in a way that just becomes an enduring legacy.
That's a great answer. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for calling, and well done.
All right. Yep.
Have a great day.
Great. Yeah, you too. Bye for now.
Wow. So I love hearing from all of you, and you can leave a message 803-JohnKlein or power@johnklein.com. And we'd love to queue you up for future shows. During daylight savings, we always pre-record our episodes. And so we'd love to have you on the call in the future. And thank you, Serena and Jackson. I'm really grateful that you're able to share your questions for others to learn from. Going back to, I wanted to revisit something I mentioned earlier, just about the potential moral dilemma that we find ourselves in if we're thoughtful about our use of AI. And I think that's one of the reasons I mentioned last episode that I was a bit allergic about AI, because there are aspects I feel that we need to slow down to really understand properly. And there's so much money and motivation right now for AI to move swiftly, to be like a bull in a china shop, right? And just make its way. And I just don't think that that's necessarily the safest route, especially for us. I think if we're not careful, we find that there might be aspects that we delegated to AI that we really should have kept for ourselves. And I do have one confession to make as well. I mentioned that I memorized my kids' phone numbers last week. And I found that though I have my sons, that I didn't have my daughters. And I actually found myself, I left my phone at home and I went to pick up my daughter, and I'm out there and I'm like, oh, I'll just find somebody, use their phone and call my daughter. And I had forgotten her number. And I thought, wow, I have to confess to my audience that I didn't do that well. And it was a good checkup for me that I'm going to make sure I dial her number more often, because I never want to be in that position. And I don't want you to be in that position. And as a metaphor, I don't want that to be anywhere in our lives where we didn't explicitly consider that, okay, is this essentially a capability that I no longer want to have? Because that's really that's the decision we're making when we say, hey, I'll just let you do this. And you know, AI has lots and lots of invitations today. Oh, let me take care of that. Let me take care of this. And so I don't want that to be a Trojan horse toward a future that I don't really want. And the other aspect is just from an inspiration standpoint, thinking about the role of a creator. And, you know, when we go and use some of these tools, it's important to ask, what's the origin of this? You know, did somebody produce this and now I'm making free use of it? Just so we have a bit of discretion and discipline in the way that we leverage things. I really want to find ways, and if you know of ways that we can support efforts to protect creators, to create, like what Senator Josh Hawley highlights, a liberty-enhancing AI, if there are movements that we can support and get behind, I would love to hear more about it. And please reach out to us, because that's certainly something I want to support. And I think it's a critical part of making sure AI becomes a valuable, but also a compartmentalized part of our lives and doesn't expect just to take over, but just to take part in the part that we give it. So it's been a pleasure. As we look to sign off next week, going to have a great show again. I appreciate you. And please, you can go to my podcast at salesforcetrailsandtrials.com. You can go to my LinkedIn and follow me there. Lots of great information comes out throughout the week. And thank you to my engineer, my producers, others who make this show possible. And I want to help you maintain and protect your people first power in the age of AI. We'll see you next week.